Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Coaches, welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. How are you?
Doing well. I'm happy to have you here, and congrats on a nice season.
We appreciate it. It was good, and had a lot of fun.
Coach, we're going to get right into it here and learn a little bit about you. So let's go all the way back to the beginning for you. What made you want to be a football coach?
You have to understand, I'm from little small Harrisburg, Kentucky, and in our family, the Yeast family, if you go in the state of Kentucky, it's pretty well-known name, not because of me, because I had five uncles and they all played football. And from that, you know, Mel and our family played football. It's just something that I've loved ever since I was a kid. You know, I had an uncle, I guess when I was, from 79 to 82, that my Uncle Nick played at Eastern Kentucky University when they played in four national championship games, won two and lost two. And, you know, I wanted to be just like Uncle Nick and my Uncle Bo and Uncle George and Uncle Steve and Uncle Robbie. And, you know, it's just, you know, football is just one of those things that was just ingrained in me at an early age. And, you know, when I retired from playing football, you know, It was something that, you know, coaching was, you know, the logical next step if I wanted to stay involved. And, you know, I kind of sort of got into coaching then and been doing it ever since.
Coach, where did you get your start in coaching?
It's interesting. I actually, when I was playing in the CFL for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, I actually started coaching when my son, I guess he was about 6 years old at the time, they had a little organization called the Wentworth Panthers, and they played like a spring and a fall league, and it was a really great little organization, and I helped coach his team, and he was actually six playing with 7, 8, 9 year olds. And from that, you know, I also, there was a 16, basically what would be equivalent to a JV team in high school, mostly sophomores and juniors. I helped coach that team. I was kind of like the co-offense coordinator and, really helped out with the corners and the secondary and had a big role in special teams. So I kind of started coaching before I actually retired and found out that I actually really liked it.
Coach, what were the things you learned in that first coaching job, especially having to make the transition from playing so long into being a coach?
Well, I think one of the things that I learned more was that these young kids need to be taught the fundamentals of the game. And if I knew the fundamentals that they needed to be taught, and not to actually assume that they all know what they're doing, you know, because they don't. And so understanding and focusing on the fundamentals of the game is, you know, that's kind of what I learned that I needed to do as a coach in order to be somewhat effective.
Over the course of your career now, what would you say are some other key things you've learned that have been important in your development as a coach?
Well, I think that most important thing is just, you know, I have to be myself. You know, I'm a pretty intense guy and I got a lot of energy. So, you know, it's important to be who you are. You know, I wanted to be who I was, but, you know, I wanted to have a lot of fun doing it. And I think the biggest thing for me is I've always, you know, tried to take the time to get to know the guys that I'm working with, and more importantly, the players that, you know, I'm going to coach and figure out how they learn. And, you know, I wanted to be an effective football coach. I'm still growing. I still want to be as effective as I can. But I've just found out that if you find out who they are, and I know it's kind of cliche, but if, you know, young men and kids, they really won't do anything for you until they know that you care. And I just try to be the kind of person that, you know, I want them to know that I care and that I understand how they learn and what they want to learn. And I try to cater to that. And it's been a big help for me thus far in my career.
Coach, who's had the greatest impact on your coaching philosophy?
I would have to say that it would be my high school football coach, Alvis Johnson. Alvis Johnson he's a Hall of Fame football coach in the state of Kentucky. You know, he's over 300 wins. And, you know, the thing about Coach Johnson was he was our head football coach. He was our social studies teacher. He was our track coach. He was our athletic director. But I think the most important thing about Coach Johnson was he was the deacon in our church. So, you know, he didn't just necessarily always teach us what it meant to be a football coach or a football player. You know, he taught us what was important to becoming a man and a good man and doing all the right things and the importance of, you know, getting a great education and you know, being the best football player you could possibly be and just, you know, work for everything. And I think that, you know, he's been the biggest part of, you know, how I feel about this game.
You've had the opportunity to be a head coach now, and now you lead a unit, you lead the offense at Franklin. What's become your main philosophies in leading those units?
Well, as a head coach, you know, it's a little bit different because you're coming in and you're trying to, you know, develop a culture within, you know, of what you're trying to do. So as a head coach, you know, I have four things that I've always believed in and those are: you have to be tough, you have to be disciplined, you have to have a great attitude, and you got to outwork everybody. And for me, I've always said that, you know, being tough is, you know, going out and getting knocked down and getting back up. You know, it doesn't matter if it's on the football field or if it's in life. If you're tough, no matter what comes your way, you're going to get back up and you're going to play the next play. The discipline part of it is, hey, you just got to do the right thing, even when nobody else is looking. You know, having a great attitude is, you know, simply just going out and just saying, you know what, today is the day and I'm going to give it everything I have. And also, to me, I would always tell is part of that great attitude is, you know, today I'm going to hit you in the mouth, you know, and that's fun. And the hard work part is, you know, no matter what, I don't care if it's your teammate, I don't care if it's your opponent, every day you're in the weight room every day that you have an opportunity, you need to work. And you got to outwork the next guy. And that could be your teammate. That's your opponent. You just got to work. And what I've adopted, you know, I'm coming in here at Franklin. It's a little different because I'm not in charge. I'm only in charge of the offense. So my philosophy, you know, is still tough discipline, attitude, hard work. But, you know, it's kind of changed a little bit more towards the five F's of what we want to accomplish offensively. And that's one, we want to play fast. You know, I think it's very important you play with great tempo and be as fast as we possibly can be. I always tell our guys we want to be the fastest team in Division III football. And let's take this step forward. Hey, let's try to be the fastest team in America, you know. And next thing is we want to fight for everything. You know, we want to fight for our teammates. We want to fight for every yard. We just want to fight. We want to fight until the whistle blows. We want to finish everything from practice drills to your workouts to finishing the play like through the whistle. We want to finish everything. We want to play for our family because this is a brotherhood. It is a family. And we want to make sure that we take care of our family. We don't let anybody push our family members around. If we need to step in, we step in because, you know, family takes care of family. We might have our disagreements, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're still family, so take care. And the last thing is fun. We want to have fun. You know, I think that, you know, it's still a game. You know, any way you swing it, no matter what the stakes are, you know, you still got to go out and have fun because this, for the most part, this is the game we've been playing or coaching since we were young enough to remember. So just go out and have some fun.
Coach, as you take that, you know, the culture you talked about, and you take those things out onto the field, what are some of the best things that you're doing as a coach to help teach your players your system?
Well, one of the things that we do, I think it's the way we practice. You know, obviously we're a no-huddle offense, and, you know, we want to play as fast as we can. But what we do on the practice field is, you know, we script a lot of our plays, but we have basically a drill, you know, for everything that we do. So we want our players to get maximum reps at the things that we do and the things that we feel that we do best. You know, so for example, we'll come out every day and we'll have like a little circuit for what we call our little pack and go circuit, where, you know, I'm constantly saying the same things over and over, you know, get a good move off the line, stack the defender, get the ball high and over the outside shoulder. We practice that because we throw the ball vertical a lot. Then we'll go to a screens and a play action drill. We'll have a quick game drill. We'll have a run period, and we'll have our drop back period. And our thing is, whether it be on air or against defense, we want to get maximum reps, and we want our quarterbacks and our receivers and our running backs doing all the same things, you know, regardless of the look, make our adjustments. And I think by doing that and just repetition after repetition after repetition after repetition, you know, our players start to understand exactly what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to be. And then we can kind of take the film and, you know, we film everything, and, you know, we can kind of coach those guys and on some of the minor details. But I think it's just the consistency of doing the same things every third or fourth day.
Coach, describe your offense to us, exactly what you guys are like. What's the main philosophies of that offense?
Well, the main thing that we want to do is as you know, we like to throw the ball a lot. And it's funny that I'm going to say this, but I'm more of a run-oriented mindset type of guy, if you can believe that. But I like to run the ball. But
as the number one passing team in the country, you're run-minded.
Yeah. Okay. I know it sounds crazy. But, you know, I think the philosophy for us is, you know, we want to play fast. You know, we want to play with great tempo. We're always looking for mismatches on the perimeter. We feel like we have really good players, so we want to take advantage of the opportunities that we have out there. At the end of the day, the most important thing for us is score more points than the other team. You know, and if we have to run 100 plays, we'll run 100 plays. If we only run 60, we run 60. But, you know, that's the objective. You know, but we want to play fast, we want to play physical, and we need to improve our run game. But, you know, at the end of the day, we throw it pretty well, and we got a pretty good quarterback and some good receivers that make plays, that make me look better than what I actually am. So I think, you know, when it comes down to philosophy, it's just play fast and get the ball to your playmakers, and let's have some fun, let's be tough, let's be physical, let's have some discipline, let's outwork them, let's go win.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about the specifics of your offense. What would you say is a go-to play that you could share with us, one that you want to call 15, 20 times a game, and maybe what you do with it that's unique?
Well, I know you probably get inside zone a lot, but I got a couple plays, you know, and I'll talk about the inside zone, but we do a little bit different with our inside zone because everything for us is about numbers. So our base formation, 10 personnel, two receivers at each side, which we call our base formation. You know, what we try to do is we tell our quarterback, all right, I'm going to call zone 15, 20 times. It's your responsibility to make sure that we get the ball to the right place. And what we do is we have screens built in, automatic screens on both sides, all right, with the option of the quarterback to say, you know what, I want to call a quick game concept. And we'll give him the opportunity to do that. So on one side, we'll throw a bubble. And on the other side, generally in the boundary side, we'll throw what we call our now screen, which is basically a fast screen. But what we want our quarterback to do is I want you to look left, middle, right, short, left, middle, right, deep, and look at the numbers. And if we have a throw, throw it. And the reason why we want to do that is because we want to make sure that when we do run the football, the inside zone, that the box is actually in our favor. All right, so on the bubble side, if that linebacker, that outside linebacker is hovering around the box and we got him outflanked, all right, we're going to kind of stick the ball on the running back's belly and we're going to raise up, we're going to throw that bubble. All right, we're going to block on the outside, and we're going to get yards. To me, it's like toss sweep without anybody pulling. All right, so it's just an extension of the run play. So if we get 5 or 6 yards off of that, good. You know, or several times this year, we hit that for a big play, and, you know, we had a 40-yard touchdown, we had a 50-yard touchdown, we had a 65-yard touchdown off of that. You know, and that works for us. And then on the other side, we like to throw what is called our now screen. So what we want to look for is we got – two receivers out there, and where's the corner, where's the safety, where's the linebacker? And if it shows that we can throw that ball out there right now and get 5 yards, we're gonna throw it. So just stick it in the belly, raise up, throw the ball out there, and let's go get yards. All right, now when we come to the box, first thing we want to do is we want to take care of the first level. If you don't block first level, it doesn't matter what you do in the run game. If you don't take care of that first level, you're going to lose yards. So we take care of that first level, and then our eyes for the quarterback, we tell our quarterback, hey, it's just zone read now. You know, you want to get your eyes on that backside defensive end. All right, he crashes, you pull it. He gets up the field, you give it. You know, and what we tell our running backs, we want to chase that inside leg of the tackle. And what we tell our running backs is, all right, so now when you got that zone, we want to take it outside based on his block. You want to cram it in there, or you can cut it back. But I think the unique thing that we tell our backs is it's your responsibility to make sure that the offensive line is right. It's not the offensive line's responsibility to make you right. So if you're wrong, you better get 2 yards. So, you know, that's kind of how we run it. So it kind of gives us the opportunity to look at the numbers and see what's in our favor, and then we go with it. And when we're in a 3-by-1 formation, now we kind of take that one receiver to the backside, and we can still call our zone play, but we can still, you know, if we want to throw a vertical, we can throw a vertical or any other kind of route that we want to throw over there. But we'll bubble on the front side with the number 3 guy, still looking for the numbers. So basically for us, it's do our numbers in the box tell us that, hey, we can run the football, or do our numbers in the box say, hey, we need to throw the football? And that's kind of what we look for when we run our zone. That's one of the staples of our offense. And it looks like, you know, I at least call that play 15 to 20 times a game. And probably 10 to 12 times out of the game, our quarterback is throwing the ball because he's kind of a gunslinger. So it's fine with me. It works.
As you're calling that play during the course of the game, what tendencies do you look for?
Well, like I said, we look more for numbers rather than tendencies of what the defense is running, because we're going to run that play no matter what. You know, it's zone is zone. But we're looking for numbers. And we're looking to see if the defense is going to try to take something away from us. One of the biggest issues that we have is sometimes, you know, we got a extremely dominant defensive lineman down inside that we may not be able to block. And then, you know, that can present a problem. Now it's really up to the back to kind of, you know, make the right cut, or, you know, sometimes we're not going to get to the backer, so you got to make a guy miss. But it's really more numbers rather than tendencies, because we truly have 4 different reads on that play. You know, we're going to read one side. We got the bubble screen, or we got the fast screen, and then we got the zone read aspect of it, which kind of makes it a little unique for us. It's an RPO within an RPO, but it's not an RPO at the same time. It's kind of weird to explain, but it works for us.
Coach, let's think about some of the critical situations. Obviously, the game comes down to being able to convert on third down or being able to do something in the red zone or take advantage of a sudden change, for example. What's a critical situation you faced this season, and what was your approach to calling a play?
That's a good question. You know, this year we were playing against Anderson, and we were a little flat. And even though we were a little flat, we started out well, and then we kind of went flat. From there, we got down inside the 5-yard line, and we stalled, and we four plays, and we didn't get it in. Really wanted to run it in, and I was not very happy. But you know, they took the ball back down and kind of made it a 7-point game. It's still kind of early in the midway through the second quarter. So we kind of got back down there again. And it was third down, on the 4-yard line. So, I had an idea what I wanted to call, but I wanted to talk about it. So I had our head coach give a timeout. So one of the things that we had practiced every week and had not run it was, you know, we wanted to get in our heavy set and put our two receivers, two double tight, two receivers, and we wanted to roll out to the right make it look like we want to throw a pass. Well, really, it was kind of a sucker play with the tight end on the right side, you know, kind of blocking, falling down, and ending up on the backside. So I wanted to call that play, but I wanted to make sure that everybody was on the same page. We haven't shown it, but it was something that, like I said, every Thursday in practice, it was a play that we practiced for a possible 2-point play or a situation like this. And we called the timeout. We pulled everybody up. We got the right personnel in, called the play, had the right look, you know, and it worked. You know, the one thing that, you know, they had done was they had done a great job of just stacking the box, and they were playing man coverage. So, you know, I kind of felt like we had the right look for the play. They was going to give us man coverage. If our tight end did his job and sold the play, and our quarterback did a good job with his eyes and on the rollout, that it would be wide open. So we got in. We got the right look. We had the man coverage that we wanted. The tight end done a phenomenal job of kind of blocking and selling it. And our quarterback did a great job. And, you know, lo and behold, he was wide open. So that was kind of a critical situation in the game because we weren't playing well, and we needed something to spark us. And the young man that caught the ball, it was his first college touchdown, so that kind of made it a little bit more special.
Now, you say on the play that you had him coached up to fall down. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, we wanted him to block and kind of just – you know, sell it a little bit. You know, you're blocking the guy, and then maybe you go down and just kind of crawl a little bit, kind of get lost. And he done a great job of selling it. Dude, he popped out the backside, and there was nobody there but just him. And I was just saying, just catch the ball, son, catch the ball. And he caught it. So it was good.
That's a fun play. It's something that's always been in my staple of 2-point plays or plays to use on the goal line. You can use it maybe once or twice a year, but when you do, it's pretty effective.
It's exactly right. I agree. And it was very effective. It worked for us. And it was a huge play in the game. And I think we went on from there and put up some pretty good points. We kind of got our mojo back. And it was good for our offense and good for our team.
Coach, we're going to go into this next segment here, which is called Lessons in Learning, and it's a focus on some of the things you've learned over the course of your career, and hopefully something our listeners can extract some lessons from.
Okay.
So let's go back to the beginning, and what was a mistake you made as a young coach, and what did you learn from it?
One of the things that I learned early was that I was trying to do too much. Trying to almost wheel myself into you know, the players, because they're supposed to know what I know, you know, and you know, kind of going about it that way, you know, at the end of the day, I it was wrong. And you know, it was just a lesson learned, you know, being a young football coach and, you know, having all this energy and wanting everybody to know what I know. And you know, everybody don't know what you know, especially with the young kids. And I kind of had to take a little step back and just tell myself that, hey, I got to be a little more of a teacher and slow myself down, not try to do too much, figure out what they know, and then teach them. And after teaching them, if they can take more, give them more. But do it in a slow process and not, it's got to be right now. So I learned that everything is not right now. Everything's a process. And that's been really, really good for me.
What's the best coaching advice you've received?
The best coaching advice I've received is be myself. There's nobody better than your own self. Nobody knows you more than yourself. And if I can just be myself and trust myself, I got a chance. I think the issue is, you know, when you go into this business and you're trying to be something that you're not, everybody notices it, especially the kids that you coach, the young men that you coach, because you can't fool them. They know right away. So I think it's just being myself, you know, and understanding that I don't have to be anybody else. I can just be who I am. I can go out there. I can be a hardworking young football coach. I can be a good teacher. The players will respect me, and they'll play for you as long as they understand that you know what you're talking about. You're not trying to be anything other than who you are. And that's kind of what I learned. Just be yourself.
Coach, what advice would you extend to that young guy who's getting into it? You know, an intern with his first job or a GA in your program. What advice would you give him as to making it long term in this profession?
Well, I think the first thing that I would tell him was, you know, the same advice that I was given was, you know, you have to be yourself. That it has to start there. The second thing is, you know, go and learn as much about this game from as many people as you possibly can, because there's a lot of people out there that know a lot, and you don't know everything. So as much as you learn, the better off you'll be, and develop what it is that you want out of coaching. Another thing I would say is, you know, do it because you love it. Yeah. If you don't do it because you love it, if you're doing it because of you're trying to get a big payday and this, that, and the other, then probably not going to last in this business very long. But if you do it because you really love the game, you really love being around young people and coaching them up, then you got a chance to go as long as you can. And as a young coach, I would also encourage to contact as many coaches as you can and go work as many camps as you can, because the more camps you work, the more people you're around, the more opportunity that could very easily and possibly come your way. So go out and work camps, and at the end of the day, love the game and have fun, you know. And if you do all those things, you got a chance to make it in this business for a long time.
What's a book you've learned from that you would recommend to our listeners?
You know, I'm kind of I know I'm probably behind, and there's some really good books out there. And the one book that, you know, I've always been a big fan of was, I think I've read it a couple of times, is The Mentor Leader by Tony Dungy. I mean, I know there's a lot of great books out there, but, you know, I just think that The Mentor Leader by Tony Dungy is just a – it's a little older now, but it's a great representation of what it really means to be a great man of faith and, you know, coaching this game and being a teacher of young men and caring more about them as people and developing a culture of caring about young men more than just what they do on the football field, but actually what they do in their life. And I feel like my job is to be a mentor to as many young men as I possibly can, because it's kind of on me to do something to help them change their lives or become better men so that they can do the same thing for the next person or the next young man when they get in my position. So I think the mentor leader is really a great example of what it really means to be a mentor, to be a football coach, to be a teacher, and the lives that you have the opportunity to influence on a daily basis.
Coach, we have so much passion for this game as coaches that sometimes we find it hard to create that balance. What have you learned about creating balance between the job and its requirements and family and health, faith, all the other things that are important in life?
Well, for me, faith and family is everything. You know, I come from a very tight-knit family, a big family. So, you know, for me, family is my faith is everything, and my family is the most important to me besides my faith. So I think one of the most important things that you need to have if you're going to be in this business and you're going to be a married man is you got to have a wife that understands this game and what it requires. My wife is great, you know, and she's a great mother. She's a great friend. So I think it's important to have a wonderful companion that understands. That's first. And then I think you just got to take care of yourself. You know, I try my best to – she makes me eat right. You know, she'll pack my lunch and she makes sure that, you know, I'm not eating a lot of junk. You know, out on the road, it's kind of hard to do that. But, you know, you got to eat right. You got to exercise. You got to take care of yourself because, you know – a lot of times this can be a very stressful business. And if you don't have fun, and if you don't take care of yourself, you know, at the end of the day, it could get, it could take advantage of you. So, you know, every year we try to take a couple vacations with our family. You know, I get a chance to, you know, go and watch a lot of my kids academic and athletic activity. So I probably get a chance to get to about 85%. You know, you can't do that at every level, but where I am right now, Franklin, it's just a great place. I'm working for a great guy. It gives me the opportunity to spend time with my family. So faith and family for me, and having a great wife and just taking care of myself and eating right and exercising, you know, for me, that's the perfect balance. You know, I generally don't do a lot of work when I come home. I'm more family oriented when I get home, and I don't talk a lot about football. And if I have something to talk about, I will. But, you know, I just try not to get too stressed out about it once I leave the office. And I just deal with whatever needs to be dealt with, because, you know, if you take everything with you, you never let anything go. And that's not very healthy.
Coach, we're going to pick up the pace in this next segment, our two-minute drill. So just some real quick question and answers on some various football topics here.
All right.
So the first one is this. Schematically, what's the toughest defense to face?
I think 3-3-5, because those guys are coming from everywhere and you don't know where they're coming from. And schematically, it's tough, like I said, because they're coming from everywhere. But, you know, the one way that you can kind of offset that is you got to be able to run the football. But if you're a passing team and those guys are coming from all over the place and it looks like they got 10 DBs out on the field and there's nowhere to throw the football, and then all of a sudden your quarterback's getting hit because your right guard missed the block, and it's just tough to deal with at times when they got it going and you're struggling to pick up some things if you can't run the football.
What's your favorite goal line play?
Power. Power. I want to run the football. You know, when I get down in that, we get down in that area, I really don't like throwing the football. I want to run it in because I think that that's more demoralizing to a team than it is throwing it in. However, a score is a score, but I want to run power.
Turf or grass?
You know, back in the day, I would say grass, but I think turf is the way to go now. You know, unless you're down in the South where everybody's got that pretty Bermuda grass, it's grown perfectly and it's well manicured. But you know, I think it's got to be turf.
What's your favorite backfield set?
Well, I kind of like the one back set. You know, in our offense, we kind of move that back around. Sometimes he's in the pistol. Sometimes he's in the sidecar, is what we call it. And sometimes we cheat him up and out. You know, we like to do a lot of different things with him. But I kind of like the one back set more often than not.
Day game or night game?
Night. You know, I like the night games. Here's the reason why. Because I think that when you have a night game, it gives the fans more opportunity to get riled up, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that game starts, they're in the right state of mind so they can be loud and crazy and proud of their football team. And I think night's much better.
If you had to run your offense from one formation, what would it be?
It would be Colt. Colt is our one back. It's basically 11 personnel, three receivers, one tight end, one back. You know, I think we can do a lot of different things out of it because we have the opportunity to take our tight end. He's a pretty athletic guy. We can flex him. We can put him on the line of scrimmage for a blocker. We can move him off the line of scrimmage, put him in motion. And we can also line him up as a fullback without ever changing personnel. We can still play as fast as we want to. So that's kind of my favorite formation because it gives you opportunity to run and throw.
What's your favorite quote?
It's a quote by Tony Dungy. It says, "The secret to success is good leadership. And good leadership is all about making the lives of your team members or workers better." To me, that's what this is all about. You know, if I can do something to make the players or people that work with me or what have you better, then I'm doing my job. But if I'm doing something to make their lives miserable, then I need to check myself and figure out something different.
Should the kickoff be eliminated?
I made a living returning kicks, you know. So, I would have to say absolutely not, you know. I know that there's a lot of people out there that think otherwise, but I think it's one of the more exciting plays of the game. I know it's a play that there are a lot of collisions and full speed collisions, but I just think that by taking the kickoff return out of the game, I think you're taking a huge part of the game out, and I think the game becomes less exciting.
If you could learn from one coach from the past, either retired or no longer with us, who would it be?
Eddie Robinson. One of the greatest coaches that ever lived. You know, when I was young, I wanted to go to Grambling because I wanted to go play for Eddie Robinson. But I just think he is the epitome of what it meant to be a football coach, a man of faith, a leader, and a developer of young men.
How about a coach from the present?
But, you know, I'd like to sit down and have the ability to pick Tony Dungy's brain as much as possible. But I would also like to sit down and pick Nick Saban's brain also. So that's kind of – those two guys are – I can't just go with one.
How many teams should be included in the FBS playoff?
You know, I like the four-team system, but I think if they really want to get it right and make it the best it possibly can be, I think they need to turn it into eight. I think it needs to eventually get to eight, and they can use all these, you know, New Year's Six bowl games to, you know, to be playoff games. Mm-hmm. And I think you win first round, then you're in the semifinals and you play for the national championship. I mean, I think that that would suffice for a pretty good little playoff system for that level.
Okay, Coach, all things being equal, run it or throw it?
You're killing me right here, Keith, man.
I know what you're going to say.
You know what? It's to have the number one passing offense in the nation, and I think that all the players that I coach right now would agree with me if I said this, and they would all say the same thing. They would say, run it. I want to run the football. You know, I was a split back wing tee high school quarterback, man, you know, and we ran the football. Then I went to Kentucky and we were a wishbone team. And then here comes Hal Mumby with the air raid offense who, you know, gave me my platform, which I'm very grateful. And then, you know, it's back to Cincinnati Bengals where it's downhill power zone, power running football and play action passing. I want to run the football, man. Let's run it. Let's go.
All right. Well, I want to see, you know, I'll keep watching the stats. I want to see when you guys are the number one running team. That'll be when I know you really, really made it and you're really happy because you're the number one rushing team. But you guys obviously do a great job on offense and nice job with those questions. Coach, here's the final question. What's the one thing you point to as giving your team or your unit the winning edge?
Well, I think it comes down to a couple things. One, if you don't know Mike Leonard, you need to get to know him. He's our head coach, and he is a great guy. And our program in Franklin has had sustained success. And it's a direct result of Coach Leonard and the way he treats young men and their families when they come in. So I think at the end of the day, it's a combination of Mike Leonard, sustained success, and just treating young men the way they should be treated. And they love that. And we get good players as a result of that. So that's the difference.
Coach, I really enjoyed speaking with you. It was fun. I look forward to seeing what you guys do. And again, you got, you know, number one rushing offense. That's the goal now.
Well, I don't know if we'll ever get to the number one rushing offense, but I will tell you that we're going to strive to run the ball a little bit better every year.
All right. Well, continued success for you. And again, thanks for being on the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.